And good morning. May it please the court. My name is Steve Branham. I'm with the law firm of Croker Huck, a law firm here in Omaha, and we represent the appellant, Mary Radford. The issue in this case is whether the doctrine of redemption applies to reduce the amount due a beneficiary under the terms of the trust when a gift was given to that beneficiary 3 years before the trust was executed. Here, the timeline of events is important. In 2007, Sheila Radford, Mary's mother and the trustor here, gave Mary a $200,000 gift so that Mary could buy a house. In sort of the same time frame of giving the gift, Mary wrote a handwritten note that said that she acknowledged she was receiving the gift and that it was in recognition or was recognized by her as an inheritance. Then in 2010, Sheila went and drafted an amended trust which provided for Mary a 1/6 share of the residuary of her trust. The issue that was put before the county court was whether a deduction should be made from that 1/6 share to account for the $200,000 gift that was given. And the county court held that yes, a deduction should be made. And that had the practical effect of leaving Mary taking nothing from the trust.
Well, it also had the practical effect of being an equitable distribution of the property too.
Not necessarily, Your Honor.
Is she going to get way more than her share would be otherwise?
Your Honor, there was no evidence, and you could see the record here, there's no evidence about what other gifts were given to other children. The equitable...
Who was in possession of the letter acknowledging that this was part of the inheritance?
Well, Your Honor, that's in the transcript, there's an affidavit of Deborah Grant. Deborah Grant was an officer of Provident Trust Company. And as I understand the affidavit, after Sheila's death, she was called over to the house by Bridget Radford and was shown this particular note. And then later, Ms. Grant went back to the house and found that that note was contained within a collection of other financial papers.
Did that collection of papers include the wire transfer?
Your Honor, I don't recall what was reflected in that. There certainly was evidence that there was a wire transfer.
That's the $200,000 wire transfer in 2007.
That's correct. So there was a 2007 gift. There was a 2010 trust.
So there's some evidence in the record that perhaps these two documents were maintained together in the file.
Not necessarily with the trust document, Your Honor. And
wire
I think
transfer and the note signed by Mary Radford.
There's an indication, again, but the evidentiary record was not really well developed with the county court. There's Ms. Grant's affidavit, and that's it. Mary did attend the hearing telephonically. She didn't have an attorney at that time. Mary made a comment that her sister Bridget had received a similar gift, but that note was never brought up, and she wasn't under oath. I don't consider that to be testimony. I don't think any of that is important, though, for the outcome of this case. The timing here, I would stress, is important and dispositive. The gift was in 07, and then Sheila went in 2010 and wrote a trust document that provided for Mary a 1/6 share. Perhaps Mary only got...
Isn't there a prior trust document from the 2010 trust document? Isn't that an amendment and restatement of a prior trust document?
It is an amendment and a restatement. That is what the title is.
So there was some estate planning testamentary document prepared prior to the gift in 2007.
I think by the word amended, that's obviously the case, and there was something.
Doesn't reflect what that.
That's right. So we don't know whether Sheila meant to give Mary a 1/6 share solely because maybe she had taken into account the prior gift in only giving Mary a 1/6 share. Again, we just don't know.
She gave some of her children different shares, is that right?
That's right. Bridget received 1/2, and the three other siblings received 1/6 each, which would be the other half.
Now, was there any additional information why those percentages were established?
No, Your Honor. The
is there anything wrong with it from a legal standpoint?
A person can do whatever they want with their estate, and so if she left 1/2, 1/6, 1/6, 1/6, she can certainly do that with her children. She doesn't need to treat them equally. The trust document here is complete, and in that trust document, Sheila said, I want to give Mary a 1/6 share of the residuary. There's case law in Nebraska that says if the terms of the trust agreement, the plain language of the trust agreement are clear, we don't need to go to rules of construction to figure out what that person meant.
Is the trust document tied to a will?
There is a pour-over will here where a person would execute that in case property isn't held in the trust prior to death, and then it gets kicked over to the will.
Does that make a difference here?
I don't think so, Your Honor. The statute that was applied was a statute that applies to wills.
So does that make a difference here?
I don't know, because even under that statute, even if 30-2350 applied, it does not apply when a gift precedes the execution of the testament or instrument. If you look at that statute, it says property which a testator gave in his lifetime to a person is treated as a satisfaction of a devise. That implies that the devise comes first, because you can't logically give a gift in satisfaction of an instrument that doesn't yet exist. Furthermore, one of the qualifications under the statute to apply the statute is that the devisee acknowledges in a writing contemporaneous with the gift that it is in satisfaction. How could the writing of Mary in 2007 be an acknowledgement that it was in satisfaction of a gift that won't occur for another 3 years? So
what it was seemed to be an acknowledgement of the satisfaction of something. What was it?
Your Honor, if you're asking my opinion of what it was, I think it was just acknowledgement that she didn't have to pay it back.
She acknowledged she got it
and didn't have to pay it back.
And nobody said in any document prior to the $200,000 or afterwards that it was a designated asset, thus to be subtracted from a devisee's share.
Right. Mary didn't agree to that in the writing, that this is in...
Did it use the word inheritance?
It used the word inheritance.
What does that mean?
Well, these are lay people using these words, Your Honor. It's a handwritten note. I don't think any lawyer should have prepared it. I think what it means is inheritance. You get it. You don't have to pay it back.
Did your client pay taxes on this?
That's not in the record, Your Honor. No reflection of how the tax treatment was in the record. That was something that was mentioned in the order, but I don't know where that was derived
this
from.
This isn't an outright gift, because it's a gift in lieu of inheritance. Is that right?
It is a valid inter vivos gift, Your Honor.
It isn't like she made a gift and then later down the road tied this somehow to the trust document. Is that right?
That's right. It's a gift. In 2007, and then in 2010, there was a trust. And why we're interrelating the two doesn't make sense here. The common law...
This contemporary writing is why we're talking about.
I understand that, but the timing of the writing was in 07, and Mary couldn't have acknowledged that it was in satisfaction of what would occur for another 3 years.
Was the use of the expression as an inheritance useful in terms of tax consequences?
No, I don't see how it could be. It's a valid inter vivos gift. If the parties want to call it inheritance, that's fine. The IRS is going to call it something different. There was a $200,000 wire that transferred title to that property from one to another. That's an inter vivos gift. Labeling something an inheritance doesn't change the tax treatment.
Counsel, you've said twice now it's not possible this was in satisfaction of something to occur 3 years later. You don't think it's reasonable that a parent might say to their child, I'm going to give you this money, but then I'm going to reduce your inheritance?
They could certainly say that, Your Honor, but then Sheila would have put that in her trust. The intent of the testator is what we're trying to determine here, and why the plain language of the document says she wanted to give Mary a 1/6 share. There was no evidence in the record that Sheila didn't have capacity in 2010, didn't understand the prior gifts that were given to her in 2010, or the prior gifts that she gave children in 2010, that she was under Mary's influence.
But you acknowledge it's possible a parent could simply say that to a child, that I'm going to give you this money now, but I'm going to reduce what you get later.
Your Honor, I agree that parents do that, but I think when they go to an attorney 3 years later and get a trust prepared, they make sure that it's in the trust document, because that's what's going to survive after the death. And that's what should control is the trust document. The trust says 1/6 share. There's no reason to look beyond the trust. The common law of redemption is quite clear that when the gift precedes the testament or instrument, redemption doesn't apply. So I just, the timing here, I think, is as positive of the case. Gift first, 3 years later, the trust. And frankly, whether 30-2350 should be applied or not is irrelevant, because even under that statute, the same conclusion should be reached.
I understood your argument on brief that 30-2350 would not apply to the trust. It would only apply in the context of a will. Are you receding from that argument?
Not at all, Your Honor. I just didn't get time to address that. The language in 2350 makes it clearly applicable to a will. References a will, uses will-related terms which are defined in the statute, like testator, devise, devisee. And it's in a subsection of the Nebraska Probate Code that deals with wills. It's not in the separate section of the Nebraska Uniform Trust Code. I just think that there's many ways that we get to the same conclusion, which is that no deduction should be made for that 2007 case.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Blummel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
May it please the court. My name is Jeff Blummel, and along with Kelsey Weiler, we represent the appellee, Bridget Radford, in this matter. The appellant does argue, obviously in the brief, as you pointed out, Justice, that 30-2350 does not apply to this situation. And obviously, if you read the language, if you look where that statute sits in all of the statutes, it's not in the trust part. I would agree with that. However, there is case law, not from this jurisdiction. There's really no case law from this jurisdiction that's very relevant to us at all. But there is case law from other jurisdictions.
We'll try to remedy that.
Yes, we are. That's what I assumed. There is case law from other jurisdictions that state that redemption statutes pertaining to wills can be applied to trusts that are part of a comprehensive estate plan.
Were these other jurisdictions interpreting a uniform act?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Such as our 302350?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't know that. But they do apply that to, trust instruments that are part of a comprehensive estate plan. Obviously, we have
all of the case law that you found on this you have in your brief.
Correct.
So we can easily determine whether those jurisdictions are uniform probate code states or not.
Correct.
Okay. But let's assume that they're not. What difference does that make?
I'm not sure it does. Because it's really the theory that you're applying. I mean, it's the redemption doctrine that you're applying, and it makes sense for it to apply. In Nebraska, it applies in situations where where it's intestate advancements. It applies in situations where there are wills.
Before we adopted 302350, did we acknowledge the doctrine of redemption?
I didn't find any case law that you did, Your Honor. I didn't look or find any case law that you did. But to us, I mean, the trust is just another mechanism to distribute the assets, kind of like a will. It doesn't make sense to have a redemption doctrine apply in an intestate situation and in a will situation, but not in a trust situation. And I would also argue that even in this case, we did have a will. It's a pour-over will, but we had a will, and it could apply, 2350 could apply just because we have that will. It just seems to be logical to apply that doctrine in the case.
But she didn't get a devise under the will.
She did not. The trust was obviously the sole benefit.
If we're going to go on that logic, what is there to a deem in the will? There really isn't anything.
In the will, again, I mean, we're talking about it's just a mechanism that gets the money to the beneficiary in this case, the trust. I mean, the money first went through the will, and then the trust was the sole devisee of the will, and then
as I look
it flows
at this,
through.
As I look at this, it strikes me that the county court was trying to do equity. Is that the county court's job?
I think it can in a trust matter, probate matter. I don't know that they were trying to do that. I think what the county court was looking at was the redemption statute.
Does it make a difference how long this piece of paper had been in the drawer? Suppose it had been there for 20 years.
I don't think so. I think if we say it makes a difference, we're trying to jump into the testator's mind. I mean, she made this. I don't think you can any more say that she forgot about that or didn't think that applied and had the trust language like she had it, I don't think you can say that any more than when she made the trust, she's thinking, yeah, you know, I have that contemporaneous writing back then
What is it about the trust writing, now talking about this amended and restated trust, what is it that makes you think that the trustor, the person who created the trust, was still thinking about that piece of paper at all?
That's my point. I don't think you can think either way. I don't think you can make a conclusion either way. But I think what we're looking at is the intent,
what's the effect of the distribution if it's determined that Mary has already received her share of the trust assets? From what I understand, a 1/6 interest is the equivalent of about $120,000.
Correct.
That would mean that the total for distribution was about $720,000.
And I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, 1/6, half of, if 1/6 share is $120,000, then the total for distribution is $720,000 because it's 6 times 120. That's pure algebra.
Yes.
So okay. Would 3/5 go to the one child and 1/5 go to each of the others? Is that math that would be involved?
I think so. I mean, I think our client, the math would be that
the 1/2 beneficiary would still get $360,000. The remaining two beneficiaries, excluding Mary, would each get $180,000, and that would be the distribution that's left. And Mary, having already received $200,000, gets nothing. Is that what you're arguing?
Well, I think you're arguing, Your Honor, that there's an extra $120,000 there that is going to go half to our client, half to Bridget, and half to the two other brothers. It was it's the residuary. They're not specific bequests.
Counsel, if you're asking us to go into the section on wills and take out and apply the redemption statute to the trust section, correct?
Yes, or adopt the trust.
If we do that, how do we pick and choose? How do you say, well, we're going to pick out this statute. How do we then not apply all of the statutes in the will section? How do we just pick and choose the one you want that helps your client?
Well,
and I know it's a tough question, but that's a question we have to answer.
Sure. Again, I mean, if you look back, I think you're looking at inconsistent results. If you don't do that in this case, you're really forcing people to use wills for redemptions. I mean, if you use a trust, again, I'll say it applies in the intestate context. It applies in the will context.
Well, could she have specifically said in the trust document, I've already given Mary this money, and therefore she's not entitled? I mean, she put limiting language? Wouldn't have to use the redemption statute?
I think so. We've been running that through our minds a little bit as well, that, what effect did that writing have? This was a writing by the donee. This was Mary. It wasn't a writing by Sheila. She didn't do that and then take it back. We think this is a binding thing upon Mary.
No, but I meant Sheila could have put her own trust document, right?
She could.
Right.
She could. And certainly in the redemption statute, one way you can create an redemption is through a will, by a statement in will. We just don't have that here. Again, all we have is the fact that we have this contemporaneous writing, we have the $200,000 that acknowledges that this is in lieu of her inheritance, essentially. We have the transaction that takes place 12 days later, and those documents still exist. The transaction wire was with the note. They still exist. They weren't revoked. They weren't amended.
I beg your pardon. Is it a necessary interpretation of recognized by me as inheritance? Is that necessarily in lieu of inheritance?
Again, prepared by lay people, I think that's what they meant. I can't imagine why that language was used or why that note was created except for this situation.
So your argument would be when a layperson writes a note like this, that author is sort of saying, I recognize I'll get $200,000 less.
I think so. I think that's
how you would read that.
I think so. I can't think of any other way to read it.
What does the record say about a pre-existing trust document?
It doesn't. Again, thankfully, Mr. Random and I were not part of the trial court, because there's a very thin record. Nobody was represented at that. It doesn't. Again, all we have is it says there's an amended, I mean, the trust says an amended and restated trust. In the application for direction, it states that the will was redone or something to that effect, but is there any real evidence of there's no actual evidence of a prior trust document or a will being in place at the time that the gift was or the transfer was made.
Counsel, let's assume then that redemption is a common law doctrine that's been adopted by Nebraska and applies to trust. What's your strongest argument that the gift was made before the testamentary document was executed? And so why should redemption apply in that situation? Isn't redemption typically done after the testamentary gift is made?
I think it can be. Again, we've cited some cases from some other jurisdictions where they certainly say that the exception is really in a case just like this. The Hope case we stated, the exception is when a donee acknowledges in a contemporaneous writing that in lieu of their legacy. I think that is an exception that exists. It doesn't exist in Nebraska case law, but it certainly exists in other jurisdictions' case law. And that makes sense. I mean, I understand both sides of the argument, but it really, again, it depends on the donor's intent at that time. And again, the only evidence we have to that is that the transaction happened. We still have the note. The note wasn't revoked. It was found with the testator's documents. That's the best we have on the record on this case. If there are no further questions, we request that the court, respectfully request that the court affirm the judgment of the county court.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. So that concludes arguments for the day, and the court is adjourned. And lawyers, you're excused, but you can stay. What we typically do now is open this up to some questions.